You are listening to the Green Lantern Corecast, episode number 34. This episode, High Dynamic Range.
To the Green Lantern Corecast. I'm your host, Frank Mateo. Joining me today is my rough tumbling crew of Howling Commandos. Oh, wait, that's the wrong franchise. My Corpsman, my honor guard, my, you know, great honor guard. Starting off, Kuhan is here.
Oh, hey, yeah, that's me. I'm reading right now.
Carlson, but no one reading values his opinion at all. Eric?
I don't value anybody's opinion.
Doesn't matter anybody's opinion. And Brandon, our greatest listener of all time.
I am. Thank you, sir.
And today we're bringing you our reviews on Flashpoint Abensur number 2, the second volume of The Tale of Abensur and his great, fighting against, you know, the extinction of humankind. We got to thank him for that. And the last issue of The War of the Green Lanterns, Green Lantern number 67, and Green Lantern Corps number 61, which actually sort of takes place after the War of the Green Lanterns.
Is that the last issue of Green Lantern? That's funny. I didn't realize. No, don't we get two?
No,
that's right. It's all a miniseries now.
Yep. Yeah. Green Lantern itself is final issue before the DCNU reboot.
DC new.
That sounds like a bad French dish. The DC new.
Do you have any news to cover?
Yeah.
Yes, much news.
Much news. We have the many news.
I think we'd like to start off with one of Eric's favorite tidbits. DC Universe Online is getting some Green Lantern, or shall we say Lantern Corps content.
They're going to feature Sinestro Corps, obviously, if you're a bad guy, Green Lantern Corps if you're a good guy, and then they're going to have the Red Lanterns, and that's it. You're going to get hard light-based powers, so you're going to you're going to be able to make constructs. So you can make those whatever color you want, if that makes anybody feel any better.
It was all happiness that we can make a red, you know, airplane.
I'm pretty excited about it. I mean, poorly hinted at for months now that they were going to do it, so I'm glad.
And it's only $10, so that's good.
Orange airplane?
It's not cool that they're adding more money to it. I mean, they're charging so much, and they just added a marketplace to the game. But it's cool. There's alerts and there's armor, and they made a point to say you're not going to be able to get the lantern symbol, which sucks. But you get to get the white circle, which is kind of cool for fans, I guess. You know, and I'm sure there's going to be some kind of new armor that's going to have the symbol on it. So I'm just going to play extra to get the armor, and go back to being kind of indifferent towards it the rest of the week.
Well, there's also the announcement that Guy Gardner and Kyle Rayner will be making their first appearance in the DCUO.
Yeah, and Atrocitus is the villain of one of the pieces and stuff. And yeah, because there's going to be a Coast City mission, an OA mission, and then a Science Cell mission. Or is that the same thing as the OA mission?
Probably the same as the OA mission.
So it's all going to be pretty good. I'm excited about it. I mean, I don't think it's going to get anybody who hasn't played yet, who's been like, I'm only going to play when there's a Green Lantern component. I don't think it's going to get any of them to play, but... because at this point it's kind of too late, and I think those people were just talking shit until that they didn't have to play anyway, but, you know, I mean, it's expensive. So
Eric, that's not aimed to anybody, is it?
No, Frankie, we all know what you did to your own PlayStation, so you can't even play if you wanted to.
That's true.
But, no, that's just whatever it is. It's cool. I mean, it's something that's going to make me want to play a little bit more. The game is getting kind of stale, so, yeah.
Well, other bits of news?
Yep. Warner Brothers Home Video is going to release the Best of Green Lantern animated DVD scheduled to hit later this year, and it's an assortment of different Green Lantern-based cartoons featuring episodes from Superman the Animated Series, Justice League series, the Batman series, and Batman the Brave and the Bold series.
So it goes across the board, everybody. Across the board.
Yeah, I like how it's like the best of the DC of Green Lantern anime. What they also meant to say was the only of the Green Lantern animated. I mean, they basically cover everything that's featured except for a couple of, obviously, Justice League episodes that they can't really. And I guess, is the Duff Dodgers thing on there? I feel like the Duff Dodgers thing is probably on
no,
there.
No,
it should be, but it's not.
The Green Lantern is not part of
it. I think they put that in every other remotely Green Lantern at least the past 10 years, so they don't need to worry about it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think about it?
Yeah, I think it's a little short of for them to be charging $15 for it.
I was going to say, is that your price right for them for that Sony $15?
And there's no Blu-ray, it's just a DVD, right?
Yeah. Probably. What would be the point of it being a Blu-ray?
No supporting modern mediums.
It's all going to be standard definition anyway, so there's no point in it being a Blu-ray.
I think if you're a fan enough of the shows, you probably already own the DVDs. I mean, it's nice to have all the Green Lantern cartoons in one loop. You know, but you're not really getting them all.
It's really for new people, though. Really, it's for people who are going to be getting into the show, people who got into the movie.
A sampler for the other stuff, yeah. It's like, it's kind of a poorly put together product on its own that works pretty well as an advertising product. Though, in all fairness, you know, we don't want to admit it to ourselves. The biggest audience for these kind of things is kids, and the kids aren't going to care that they don't understand what happened in the episode before the eyes of Despero, and they're like, but I thought Jon Stewart was, here. How did he get over there this week? They're not going to care. So they're just going to be like, oh, pretty. You know, so it's not going to make too much of a difference. So, but it's cool in theory. Just, you know.
Are there like a ton of extras on this thing, or is it just five episodes?
Because
five episodes for $15 is a ridiculously terrible deal. That is $3 an episode. You can get, you can get all of these episodes on iTunes or Amazon for like 99 cents each.
Or free. Most of them are streaming, so there's no reason to not. And, you know, like I said, if you're a fan enough of these shows, you got them already. For me, it's kind of like, if you didn't like the Batman or you didn't like the Brave and the Bold, then you're kind of like, I just want to have the Green Lantern episode, then you can. But
so it's not for new audience members like they're trying to do. Instead, it's for the diehards who just haven't bothered to go out and get all those things.
Right. Well, technically, it's both, because then I think the logic is that they're like, well, if you like Green Lantern, you like these, then you haven't seen anything, and as you're watching them, you're like, this Brave and the Bold show is pretty cool. I'm gonna check this out, and then you get somebody buying the Brave and the Bold DVD and stuff. So, but their DVD releases have been pretty grimy. I mean, now that they finally put out, I mean, I bought all the Justice League series as they were coming out. I remember they kind of came out expensive. And now they have the Blu-ray of the whole series for like less than $100, and I'm kind of like, fuck you too, DC, by the way. So
that's how it works when you buy stuff. Eventually, it all goes down in price.
I mean, they all do that too. The Spider-Man cartoon did that too, so it's not just DC. But yeah, The Brave and the Bold is a pretty decent show that I would not mind owning on DVD, at least to show my kids or whatever. But I did once in a while go back and watch a couple of the good ones. But I mean, you're releasing that as like, volume season one, volume 1.1. I'm like, what even is three episodes? You're a scum. Like, so, what are you going to do? I mean,
they're doing that with Justice. I mean, Young Justice, too.
Wait, Eric, you've never gone through the process of having to own an entire 500-episode series three episodes at a time?
No. If you have, you're a bad person. Not just like you've been screwed.
It's called Dragon Ball.
You're a bad person wasting money.
Oh, I did do that.
$20 DVDs for three episodes.
I never once wasted $20 on a DVD for three episodes.
Yeah, it's called Dragon Ball in late 90s, early 2000s, where you had to get three episodes for $20 each. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
Wow. Started with like,
but that wasn't my money.
That wasn't my money, though. But some people did spend their own money and do it. Yeah, no.
I remember when VHSs were like $80. I mean, I don't actually remember it because I'm not that old, but like VHS used to be like $100, and the Star Trek VHS used to have like three episodes, and only nine were ever available, and it was like, and then other people pass these bootlegs around conventions and stuff. And that's one of the reasons why I'm not so like hateful towards piracy, because there's so many things I never would have experienced if not for like convention level piracy, and like that I really appreciate and really like, so, at least my excuse for theft is I'm selfish and I like stuff, I guess. So I guess I defeated my own argument there, but whatever. I agree. I think we'd all agree it's kind of a waste of time. It's cool in theory. If it costs 12 cents, it'd be cool, but, waste of time.
Well, for those interested, The Best of Green Lantern is out November 1st.
If it was like a $5 DVD, like I would be like, yeah, sure. If you want to grab it, go ahead, grab it. It's five episodes, $5. That's fine. But like, it's for $15, it's just ridiculous. Don't do it.
Well, remember, you're wasting about $5 extra for the DVD itself and $5 extra for that sweet, sweet cover art. So
we probably lost $5 worth of internet money just talking about it.
Kids, if you're like. If you're listening to the show and you're like 13, 14 years old, ask your parents to go get it for you. Otherwise, don't buy it.
The worst part about the story is that, like, I feel like it's the two. I feel like three of the episodes are the same plot, right? Like, isn't the basically like Sinestro goes evil, we got to fight him, kind of the plot of like the Batman episode Ring Toss and like the Superman animated series is this essentially the same exact episode, just switch out Batman for Superman, you know?
And technically also the Despero one in the Brave and the Bold, because in fact he goes evil at the end of that.
Yeah.
But none of them have a trial, so.
Yeah, that's true. None of them have a trial. So that's basically, I mean, you're basically buying the same episode three times. Ah, whatever, I don't even want to talk about this. I'm so mad at it now all of a sudden. I thought I was in a good mood tonight, guys.
All right, leaving that as is. Again, November 1st, you can pick up Best of the Green Lantern compilation on DVD if you wish to. Outside of that, anything else we have in the news department?
Oh, the Green Lantern Emerald Knight. Did you want to talk about the Emerald Knight sales? It went really well.
Well, I think we should mention it. There's nothing much to talk about.
Regale us with the sale count.
As of, what's the date? As of June 12th, which is kind of far.
Yeah, that's actually very far back, actually.
Well, these are only sales available, so thank you. Stats. Emerald Knights has sold over 230,000 units in its first week. And half of those sales came from DVD, while the other half came from Blu-ray.
I feel like we can attribute 25% of those sales to our brilliant commentary that you guys should have all downloaded by now.
Yeah.
And I think from comparison, All-Star Superman did 187.
Isn't that weird?
In first week. No, I think the movie sold this DVD, obviously.
Yeah, so... It just kind of proves that that's a marketing.
That's great marketing. And the Best of Green Lantern is going to do very well.
talk about those sales figures.
Just right before the cartoon. And when is this cartoon premiering again? Do we know the date on that?
There is no date yet, but San Diego is less than a week away, so I guess you pay attention to the website, you'll know soon.
That's right.
We're going to move on now to our review section of the portion of this cast. We're going to bring ourselves to talk about our savior, Ivan Tor, in Flashpoint number 2. Or Flashpoint number 2, Ivan Tor, if I'm mistaken. The Green Lantern. Where we see the rest of the story after he crash lands on Earth and he's sort of rescued by Hal Jordan and sort of rescued by... sort of rescued by a dickish cyborg,
His cyborg's like, help me shoot you in the face. Help me. Okay, I will help you.
Listen, man, I am helping you shoot you in the face. I am helping you.
Yeah, this was. I think indecipherable is probably the most polite way to describe this issue. I think 100%.
It's pretty much because there's actually a time leap within the issue itself. After he's been sent by the Guardians to Earth to just safeguard the life entity. He's crash lands on Earth. He's sort of saved by Hal Jordan, who's just like, "What's going on, man? I'm bleeding. Help me out. What's going on, man?" And Cyborg shows up. Encases him in some sort of prism or whatever bullshit, and then tells him, "Listen, man, the only way I'm going to help you if you, side with America and help me save the world." Or
America.
So that's pretty much the course of the story. And then there's a time leap. There's actually a time leap where he's being introduced to the world by Barack Obama. Remember this: Barack Obama is now president of the universe the president of the universe, the president of Earth.
President of Earth. And what kind of universe is Barack Obama president, guys? Come on. What kind of universe is that?
A universe where Barack Obama is the president of the United States of America in the DC universe is Flashpoint.
It's just the black guy, not Barack Obama.
Black guy. Never actually named Barack Obama.
There was a black guy in Final Crisis, too.
I want to see in Flashpoint, see Barry Allen, see something happening on TV, be like, a black man is president?
Bullshit, I gotta fix things right now.
He's like, God, Wally, you really let this world go to hell.
Oh, God.
Earth 2 Superman and, like, Lois Lane, like, no! And smashes the side of the crystal palace. Yeah.
Oh, bad. God. Are we bad people, guys?
No, we're not bad people. DC is bad people. I think this issue, to describe it as, again, incomprehensible is being polite, because they're setting up a conflict that doesn't really make any – it just comes out of nowhere, where the Guardians are like, don't defend the people of Earth, just get the white entity. I don't understand. Why are they abandoning Earth? There's no logic to it. Like, because they're afraid of Aquaman and Wonder Woman. Like, they face bigger threats by accident. You know what I mean? Like,
because remember, apparently Death or Necron or whatever the hell his name is again, it's like somewhere in the lost sectors of, you know, the universe, and he'll probably go to Earth to destroy it. You know, even though he hasn't done it yet for the past, I don't know how long this universe existed.
Yeah, but in the issue of Green Lantern Corps we're going to review next, they face a threat as big as what's going on here. So it doesn't make any sense. And plus, there's no explanation. I mean, I don't remember there being much of an explanation last issue as to Abin Sur being like, no, I'm going to help Earth. All his character development happens off page. This Sinestro thing in the beginning is interesting, sort of, not really, though. Just hints to the movie and then goes around this Jeff Johns-y logic. Then after that, you have the... You have a quick thing where Sinestro believes his rantings from Atrocitus to do all this crazy, and then he murders Atrocitus for no reason. I mean, none of this shit makes any sense. None of this shit makes any sense. I mean,
yeah, there's a weird characterization of Sinestro again. It's like, you know, it's like the old standby. Sinestro will always go back to being Sinestro no matter what. It's like, no, it's like one of these weird character moments, a character beat at the end of this issue where he's his best friend, and then at the end of this issue he goes like, listen, man, doesn't matter what we do here, I can erase time and space. I'm going to fix everything. So he takes pretty much...
Sinestro-Lex.
Yeah, they're going the Hal Jordan-esque, you know, zero-hour route here for some reason. And it is sort of comprehensible because it's sort of trying to mix in different Green Lantern storylines, I guess, or different elements of a Green Lantern storyline book or, you know, issues that have happened in the past, and trying to incorporate it into these three issues of Abin Sur to try to flesh out a character that, again, didn't have anything to, you know, didn't have a story of his own before.
I'm also pretty sure Sinestro's holding that sword wrong, so.
Well, I'm just saying, can anybody explain to me what's happening exactly?
No, there's the entire deal is, you know, Abin Sur got a mission. His entire philosophy is that he doesn't want to murder things or, you know, cause the death of others and just protect life, because life is, you know, the sanctity of life is so far, you know, he values that so much more than anything else. And then it is, again, really weird to figure out what's going on with the rest of the issue. I mean, just alone, again, to keep mentioning the life entity, but there's nothing really pointing us towards the importance to it.
And I think the major part of the story should be the point where he decides to go against the Guardians, and that happens, like, literally off page. And this issue took me about 35 seconds to read. It was all splash pages, and I thought the art was going to be good because of the paintings this guy does, but, I mean, you know, it's been awful. Like, it switches between, like... photorealistic. I mean, obviously there was more than one artist for this, you know, but like, it's even within the artist, switch between these photorealistic movie representations to like completely abstract drawings and stuff, and it's a mess. This is a mess, you know. And then plus the whole cliffhanger with Hal Jordan control coming from the issue from the Hal Jordan Flashpoint literally goes nowhere, you know. It just ends up being hollow and cute, which I'm sure this will be. I'm sure there's going to be. I mean, didn't we find out that the if you're whatever from, well, no, I guess Abin Sur's fam, people, like, you can blow up their head and they don't die, you know, so I'm sure his hand being blown off makes no difference to him, you know, but wait, I don't know, it's a fucking waste of time, this fucking issue fucking made me furious, you know, if you paid money for it, I feel sorry for you, I mean, fuck off with this shit.
Okay.
How you really feel.
Brandon, you know, give me some love out of here, tell me something nice.
I didn't hate it as much, I just, you know, I agree that it was an extremely quick read, it was pretty much a picture book, but I definitely didn't hate it.
I'm pretty sure picture books have more words.
Yeah. And a moral and a point and a direct through line, but whatever.
Brandon, keep going.
And doesn't talk down to you.
Like. Brandon?
The book does not talk down to me. I found it very, you know, meh, I guess. You know, it didn't anger me. It didn't shock me. Sinestro, like I said a little earlier, Sinestro came off as just paranoid, as I think they were trying to, mind you, yeah, you know, I don't want to harp on this, but Adam Slagman is not a writer, he's an editor. And okay. I think he's just trying to service the fans.
It's not an excuse. I don't see how that's any sort of excuse.
There's nothing in here that adds anything to any of the mythology, but he just retreads a bunch of Geoff Johns stuff.
It's not supposed to add. It's just supposed to hint towards it, because we know, as Green Lantern fans, how enriched Green Lantern has been in these so-called prophecies over the last 7 years. So when he introduces it here, we're supposed to be like, oh, what's the change in the Flashpoint universe in this prophecy? And it's not necessarily that it's a change. It's just that now we see Sinestro changing his mindset, that the prophecy has to end with Albinsur's death.
See, here's the thing. It's sort of saying that, you know, that there's no real big difference in this universe at all. It's saying that Abin-Sur is just a stand-in for Hal Jordan, because literally Sinestro is going out doing the exact same things here. Like, there's no, you know, the whole him now believing in a prophecy or whatever doesn't really change anything.
At this point in our universe, Sinestro would have heard the prophecy anyway, right?
Well, I think he heard something similar. I think, you know, here, but it just, it doesn't. It's fine, and I think there's elements here that would make for an interesting story, and there's ideas here that none of them are coalescing. It's all meaningless, you know, and like, it's not adding anything. It's not even clever. Like, you're like, oh, the whole point of the story is Abin-Sur, State Green Lantern of Sector 2014. It's like, all right, but nothing's been done with that, you know. And the Guardians don't care that Earth's being destroyed. Well, nothing's been done with that, you know. That Sinestro is inherently still going to be evil, but that's not even been expanded upon. He does a complete about face heel turn for no reason in the middle of this issue. You know,
I think even if the grasping on the things that you assumed the plot should be about, or what you feel would be a better story.
I just don't think the story isn't
Earth. The story is Abin-Sur, the Green Lantern, dealing with shit.
Okay. One of my problems with the issues is the fact that he's there all like, you know, don't protect the Earth, just get the entity and come home. It doesn't matter if the Earth's destroyed. Wasn't there an established point in Infinite Crisis where the Guardians knew that there were these 52 Earths, and if the main Earth dies, everything else dies?
But I don't think there's any more alternate Earths because of the Flashpoint universe. Those Earths were apparently created because Barryland was a Flash or something. It's probably because for some reason in this universe there are no alternate universes, so that doesn't matter.
But it's not really an alternate universe so much as it's a time diversion from an already existing universe.
No,
so shouldn't the multiverse still exist even if
no? Maybe the Guardians are just even stupider in this universe.
With their bulbous, clear, see-through heads. But no, the multiverse apparently does not exist anymore during Flashpoint. During Flashpoint, the multiverse ceased to exist.
It's going to be awkward when Grant Morrison puts out his book.
If that ever is coming out, yeah.
I want to read that.
Yeah, that's probably never going to come out. But yeah, it's true. The entire story about this is just Abin-Sur's regular day on duty is not really an interesting storyline.
There's no story in this. I mean, it's a bunch of elements that are coming together.
It's not necessarily a story, but there's a bunch of conflict. Is Abin-Sur being presented with problem after problem?
But is there a conflict?
But we're not even seeing him presented with the problems.
It's more like a checklist than anything. It's like, this is what happened to Abin-Sur. He crashed, but he lives. And this is what happens afterwards.
Exactly.
It feels like a to-do list, not an actual story.
Yeah, exactly.
I completely agree. But at the same time, I feel like the point, I mean, I don't want to say it again, but Adam's point was not to make not to write the best Green Lantern story of all time. It was to let these Green Lantern fans know that, hey, this is still here, this is still here, this is a little bit different, but guess what? This is still here, and this is still here, and
you know, I'd rather read the greatest Green Lantern story than a checklist.
Yeah, no, that's half the fun of, that's the entire fun of something like this. You see, you know, how the Earth would be different if these things changed and stuff. They're not extrapolating. The point of the fact is that the story itself is unclear. Like, it's basically worse than a Wikipedia entry, because you're spending more time trying to figure out, the story's just basically telling you stuff as opposed to having stuff happen. Like, there's no plot, it's just presenting you with information. But the information being presented is so confusing, you literally have to go back and be like, I don't understand, why is he doing that, you know? And you
show, don't tell.
And you have characters constantly just saying what they're doing or what they want you to do and stuff, versus, like, actually, like, you know, being involved in the story. I mean, it's awful. And you're saying, yeah, he's not a writer. That's fine. He shouldn't be writing a comic. I mean, it's almost
that's
one of those
not things. His fault. That's not his fault.
Yes, what do you mean?
If a kid gets behind the wheel of a car and he doesn't have a license and he kills somebody, it's not like the person who got killed gets.
Oh, yeah, that's an extreme enough. That's an extreme, you know, reaching here for, like, you know, something that mirrors this conversation.
Yeah, I don't think we're dying by reading this issue.
I feel like I died a little bit inside.
I feel like I think
Eric's gonna have a heart attack after this issue.
Really?
Okay.
I'm not even depressed about it. I'm just so
okay. Old. Okay. We'll move on from this issue because again, it is a little bit hard to read. It is the second issue of pretty much of a 3-part story. So pretty much we're halfway through the issue. Nothing really happens, and the very cliffhanger of the issue has nothing, literally nothing to do with what happened beforehand. So literally, the white entity. Abensur's, you know, entire thing about life or whatever, or joining whichever cause, has nothing to do with the fact that now he has to battle Sinestro to save the Flash.
Yeah, I'm not even interested really what's happening because as you said, the conflict isn't really set up. It's kind of like he's doing something for some reason for something. I guess I'm not really sure. It's like the Hal Jordan special. It's like he's still a fighter pilot, and that's about it.
Okay. Before we move on, I just wanted to say that. The White Lantern energy, the White Lantern entity, was Abed's mission. Go save the Earth because.
Well, again, his mission was not to save the Earth.
Not technically, his mission.
Right, but just save the entity. Fuck the Earth. That was the point of the mission. Yeah, and that's the whole point of the series.
And this issue, we just saw him get sidetracked.
We don't see him get sidetracked. We see him on a mission.
We see his ship crash. We see him meet a human.
No, that's what I'm saying. And then you see the human. We spend like 8 pages with the human saying, "Help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me." And then they cut to 6 months later. He's been helping the human. And then the Guardian's like, "What have you been doing for 6 months? Helping the human? Why haven't we seen any of that? Why wasn't there any kind of character?
Yeah, there's a jump in time to like save time because again, Adam Sagan didn't know what the hell to write here. It's half the story's already been. It's just a fluff piece, basically. It's just a fluff piece. This literally, when the third issue comes out, again, I'm betting there's not going to be a giant resolution. It's just gonna something's just gonna happen, and we're gonna forget about Abensur until probably Flashpoint number 6. And that's pretty much like my prediction that was gonna go down here. Anyway, we're gonna move on to Green Lantern Corps number 61. It's pretty much a John Stewart-centric issue, sort of. I mean, it also revolves around a newly recruited Green Lantern, but was recruited during the Mogo Gone Evil phase of the War of the Green Lanterns. So it's an interesting book on itself. It sort of deals with the repercussions afterwards of how John had to blow up Mogo and save the Corps in some way, I guess. And it actually does, in many ways, sort of try to excuse the fact as to why he blew up Mogo. I mean, if you actually read the issue, it sort of makes it go like, listen, he blew up Mogo. If he blew up Mogo, there had to have been a very good reason as to why he did it. But the reason's never really given.
Well, I think the idea, they're trying to, like, pass off that, like, you know, it wasn't really that bad. I mean, I kind of thought it was going to be. My thing is, like, John Stewart's character, you know, they ignored all his character development the last, like, 20 years, just made him so obsessed with Zenshi again. I'm like, wow, he killed Mogo. It's, like, so redundant, and this guy's going to be a goddamn basket case. And he's like, nah. So I don't fucking care. No, it's just Mogo. Okay, fine. I guess you're just, like, over-killing planets, I guess. But, yeah.
Well, it was a phase.
I'm tired of being upset about that.
It's a lot different, though. Yeah. This time,
it wasn't
an entire planet full of people. It was just a planet.
It's just a living planet. Yeah, it's just a living planet.
And at the same time, he really, really believes that that's still the right call to make.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, I thought it was a perfectly fine way to portray him.
Yeah, I think that was enough.
I mean,
that was really the only exciting thing that happened in this whole crossover, so it's not enough.
They do show a good him being, you know, remorseful for the fact of him actually having to blow a Mogo. I mean, there's still, again, not at all a reason as to why he did it.
Here's my thing, like, about this issue really quick. As it started, I thought it was really interesting because I'm glad they dealt with, and that's one of the cool things about having multiple titles about something like this. You get a guy like Tony Bedard who's like, oh, you know what would be interesting if I actually dealt with the fact that a bunch of people were possessed and forced to be Green Lanterns, and what would they be doing? And so it starts out really interesting. It gets kind of silly when you realize, like, you don't want to get into what happens to the last issue, but we know the Green Lantern, the Guardians can just literally take the rings off the people and send them home, no problem. So there really doesn't need to be any reason for the big pile. And why is there a big pile? It's kind of, obviously it's a visual they wanted to go for, but it doesn't actually make any sense. You know, it's a big pile in the middle of the street. It's like,
well, you expected them to fly off or something?
No, I mean, I expect them all to just be, you can have the rings taken away or I'm just saying, like, obviously it's what they want to do. I just don't understand why the rings are just tossed in a pile of shit on the ground. Like, someone's got to go clean that up. And yeah, they have rings and stuff, but that seems kind of grimy to do the guy that's got to do it. So this issue starts out with an interesting concept, and I like the idea that they kind of play out that the other Green Lanterns think John's a dick, and then when I talk to him, we get to kill Mogo, and that's cool. And then the issue kind of devolves into the same old simplistic, like, you would read this in a Subway comic version of a Green Lantern nonsense, you know, it's like,
yeah,
a crammed out, this reminds me pretty much word for word of the John Stewart story that Tony Bedard wrote for, like, a Christmas special.
Or
the Halloween special. Basically, pick any Green Lantern story at random written for an anthology in the past, like, 10 years, and you're going to get this story. So, I don't know, nothing to it, you know, like, basically, you know, starts out as an interesting idea, and then
John Stewart's businessman
runs out of steam. Yeah, is that because Tony Bedard doesn't really have an imagination? I think to me that's what it is. The guy understands what would be interesting plot-wise, but actually doesn't.
I think it still worked on some levels, dialogue-wise, when she mentioned that it's still going to be hard as shit trying to win over her people. Like, yeah. Because, honestly, she is, like, that she did the same thing Sinestro did. Like, she fucked up her homeland.
Or that Hal did, yeah.
Became a Green Lantern. And, if had that been Earth, we wouldn't forgive Hal Jordan for doing shit like that.
Yeah, even though they did. But you're right. I mean, they wouldn't in real life. But
guys,
I mean,
all I have to say is, what does the ring say about the frick, I just ruined my own joke. The gunship level is what I was going to say. Gunship level.
Oh, okay. It's over 9,000. Yeah. It's over 9,000.
Yeah, thanks for the reference.
Obviously, reference. No, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, it's interesting. I'm glad they had an issue of GL that dealt with it. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like Peter Tomasi is like, oh, I have to throw one off issue in the next 30 seconds. What can I do? A guy lets a guy get murdered and gets laid and kills a bunch of dudes with guns. That's the end. And you know, it's like, roll your eyes at that. Like, yes, that was another. That's an example of what a Green Lantern story would have been like if someone wrote it 10 years ago, you know, for any old anthology, where this is kind of the example of, like, the aught-year anthology story, you know, where let's learn how to really love ourselves, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, this also follows what I don't like, which is what, you know, it's science fiction and this way, Shaver, the idea that, like, a planet has two cultures, and if you explain any level of human experience is vastly superior to the entire communal experience of an entire society. Like, he's like, we have this thing here called compromise. They're like, compromise? What? You're fucking crazy.
Well, to be fair, they weren't even native cultures to one another that lived on the planet for any period of time.
To be fair, they had technology. So they didn't really need to worry about culture and shit. They shouldn't understand what compromise means and stuff. And technically, John took the side of the materialist. It's not like the communal guy. Basically, he's saying you guys are smarter than these socialist hippie assholes. Like, take their shit and just tell them you're not taking it. And they're like, smart. It's like, why didn't you just do it in the first place? Why waste money on the war? It's like, don't you guys know war costs money? They're like, wait, war costs money? That's where my money's going. So, I mean, it's stupid. Whatever. That's somebody who's not really, really, really smart trying to write, like, a meaningful story. And again, I appreciate the variety, I guess. Art was terrible.
Terrible? It was not terrible.
You were apparently not amused at all.
Horrible. And the green, I mean, come on, the blacks and everything's just awful. And John Stewart looked like a mutant half the time. Just awful. Awful shit. Indecipherable. I couldn't tell what was going on with the girl's head. I guess she was trying to do this, like, stone thing across her head. I just thought there was some bleed on the page. It just looked like shit. Shit, shit, shit. Just garbage. And when you show the two light forms, indecipherable. The coloring is garbage. Sorry, I'm done. You guys talk about what you want.
Whew.
Okay.
I feel really bad now for having anything to say.
Sorry. Okay, Brandon, give me something nice.
No, I definitely didn't hate the art. I don't know, it's definitely nothing special, but yeah, I definitely didn't think it was horrible.
Yeah, Daniel Hoare, that's his name?
HDR. High dynamic range. Daniel,
good.
High dynamic range.
It really is. It's high dynamic range.
He takes quite good pictures.
HDR. Because it actually looked like an O. But HDR actually did good for his book. He actually did very good for his book.
I don't know if it was good.
I don't know where your guys' eyes are working.
I won't call it very good, you know, because Doug Monkey is very good. But
No. Doug Monkey.
Okay, you know what this looks like? This looks like those fucking bullshit arcade, you know, like they get this just out of fucking high school artists drawing nonsense. Okay. Can't put a line together, motherfuckers. Like, no,
David Peterson is at Arkea.
Well, that's the one. I'm just saying, as example, like, this looks like IDW art, you know what I mean? Like, I apologize, Daniel HDR, if you're listening. I know you obviously tried. You pumped this out.
You obviously tried.
And there's some cool stuff in here. It's a fucking mess. It looks like what it is. It looks like a fucking rushed issue. Well, Bernard Chang wasn't busy. That guy could draw an issue in 3 minutes.
Okay, I wanted to mention that, actually. Compared to the other...
don't say it was better than Bernard Chang. You know, I don't want to talk to you anymore.
I thought this was leagues better than Emerald Warriors. What was that, 11? Yeah.
Story-wise or art-wise you talking about?
Both? Oh, not art-wise. I mean, story-wise.
Story-wise, yeah, I would say it. Like, I mean, again, because, I mean, I don't like a story where Guy Gardner doesn't want to help anybody and then lets the guy get murdered for helping him, you know, and then just flies off at the end. So, it's not a story, man.
Can't do that. I thought, you know, what we expected was not an aftermath issue, you know? The aftermath starts in the aftermath series. So when we see John on the cover looking freakish, I'm assuming shit down and now.
And I like how it says, like, he'll kill another one. I'm like, oh, I thought this whole issue was going to be like, now John's going to decide whether he's going to kill her or not. Basically just him holding her hand the whole time, like, where is this hostility from the cover?
Sure.
He doesn't seem mad at all.
I thought this was a great look at John. I thought Bedard handled John's aftermath of the whole war very, very well. I like that he isn't regretful. I thought that the ending where he looks all heartbroken flying through the rubble that is Mogo, I thought that was the worst part of the issue. Because
oh, yeah? He's got to show a little bit of regret because he should feel bad that he killed his... He should feel bad that he had to kill his friend. Like, he shouldn't be like, I didn't need to do that. He should just be like, wow, I'm sorry. Like, if Frankie was possessed by evil and I shot him, I wouldn't be like, well, fuck it, I had to shoot Frankie. He was being an asshole. But I would still be like, oh, you still like Frankie before he was an asshole.
I think...
Thanks.
What's playing in my mind now is Shaun of the Dead, where he has to kill his mother, who's a zombie. And, yeah, it sucks at the time, but shit had to happen. And I think for Kilowog and the rest of the Green Lanterns to turn their back on him, knowing that this is the guy who put himself in a wheelchair over grief, you like, that's the guy you turn your back to, of all people? Like, and I thought that was the worst part of the issue, is to see John on the verge of tears at the end of this issue. I said, no, you hold your head up high and say, I did that shit.
Well, I appreciate that kind of emotional reaction. When you think about it, though, if you had a friend who, when he was 13 years old, killed his little sister joyriding, and then about 20 years later became a really stand-up guy, but then was so lazy he destroyed a whole planet, and then, you know, became a stand-up guy again, and then was so lazy he was so gung-ho that he killed another planet, and you're like, yeah, all these three things, he had reasons, I understand. I still would not let him hang out with my kids or pet my dogs, you know, like, I'm like, enough is enough from you, you are a fucking psycho. I mean, you know, whatever, you don't want to be judgmental, but, you know.
But it's not as if, as if he was, you know, lugeing down the street and
it's got a shotgun next to Mogo. Yeah!
I think you're hitting on something that's actually what I guess I didn't even realize we were talking about it, that when I'm John kill Mogo, I was kind of like, this is so redundant and I don't understand why that's not going to make this guy a basket case. But I guess you're right. You're hitting on something that's interesting, because John could just be totally okay with it, because his logic is like, yeah, I did a lot of fucked up shit and murdered a lot of people by accident, but this was a deliberate murder, so I don't really feel that bad about it. That's going to cause a kind of cool conflict with the character, you know, where he'll start becoming that character, like, maybe I should do anything that's necessary or I shouldn't, and I don't know. It's good. I guess you're right. You're right. But I do think it's good to show him crying, because he's got to have feelings. He's got he-motions. I mean, you know, he's got to express his he-motions.
He-motions. Nice.
I kind of agree with Brandon. I do really like the idea of the whole setup. You know, he's in an interesting place. This woman is also in a place where she kind of wants to help out. She wants to do her part, but you know, she's also got this whole thing about the guilt. And she realized, you know, I killed people while I was into this thing, and he had to kill Mogo. And I like kind of like pushing her towards trying to do the right thing, kind of coaching her along. I mean, you might argue about whether or not this is a sensible issue that would ever, you know, occur in real life. That's one thing, but on the matter of the actual idea of it, I do like that. I do like that he's like, oh, no, this is not what you should do in this situation. You should try to do more like this. I kind of like – I like that. Right. I like kind of a teaching role for John because he needed to do something.
I feel like Tony Bedard himself has written this story at least twice before with John, like that special I was talking about, and then I feel like this is the same thing he did during the Rebels storyline. I mean, I don't know. It was redundant, but whatever. I mean, I'm just being a big dick.
It kind of looks like at first when you see John with this giant construct, he's kind of just like a kid in a corner just playing with some string, like, oh, I fucked up. And it's just kind of a little sad situation, so it's nice to see that this new recruit, while getting help herself, also kind of helped John out of his funk by, you know, showing a little example for his own situation.
All right, well, Kuhan.
Thanks so bad.
Come on, what do you think?
It was... I mean, mediocre is, I guess, the best way to describe it.
Okay. Did you read it?
I read it. It was... you want me to recount the plot to you? Because I can, but...
No. Please. No, here.
I'll recount the plot.
No,
John Stewart solves a planet dispute. That's it. That's all. Whatever. Hey, guys, this is what you can do. Instead of making a bajillion dollars, make money. Okay. Now you guys won't all die. The end. And then the other lady's like, oh, I can't believe I didn't think of that. Like, yeah, neither can I. I can't believe you didn't think of it either.
I can't think of it either, yeah.
Like, maybe you should have thought of that before just taking their guns away and getting attacked by gunships. I don't know. It was bland. It was okay. It was whatever. It's like, oh my god, John Stewart, you're so great. You can think with your brain. Yeah, no, nothing.
Humans, you're such a clever species. There's potential in you, I think. Teach us more of this the way, you know. Frankie, what did you think? You didn't even see what you thought.
I was about to say something, but my freaking internet connection keep cutting off for a second.
I don't want to hear your fucking life story. I asked you a question, man. Come on.
Oh, the issue itself was, again, terribly bland. I'll admit that. I mean, the issue itself, it's taking place after the events of War of the Green Lantern. And to be honest, it's pretty weird for me just to see John hanging around. I mean, I'll get into why he's just hanging around. When we get into like, you know, number 67 of Green Lantern. But yeah, suddenly an entire trade dispute between two alien races, teaching the ropes for one rookie Green Lantern who decides to keep her ring, and just feeling sort of remorse for the fact that he destroyed Mogo. It's a filler issue. It's what it is. I mean, to be honest, there was nothing to give me a giant sense as to why John was supposed to, hey, listen, man, you're supposed to be feeling bad. You killed Mogo. There's really no one going like, is that guy in the corner. Don't talk to that guy. He killed Mogo. No one's doing that. No one's
so
like,
you wanted John to be teased and pointed?
No, I think you just wanted it demonstrated.
A demonstration as to like other Green Lanterns going like, yo, man, that guy killed Mogo. How are we going to trust this guy ever again? There's a point in the book where the rookie Green Lantern goes like, yeah, if you ever talk to John Stewart, give him a chance. He's more than just a guy who killed Mogo. I'm like, okay. Cool.
And you are just an asshole. Yeah.
He's more than meets the eye.
It's just a weird, you know, story that's supposed to make you understand, sort of understand the feelings as to what John Stewart is going through, or sort of understand that, you know, there's more options than just, you know, than just a direct approach. And if you're out of options, of all these other options, then yes, force would be necessary. And it's sort of, again, very much like how Eric said, it's a simplistic way for someone to try to act clever in a, you know, while they're writing this. And, you know, again, I don't want to, you know, discredit.
Yeah, Yeah, I think Frankie hit on the whole theory of the story, right, that, you know, John is like, I don't just go in guns blazing. That isn't me. I mean, in this situation, like what you guys are hinting at, it's like he's like, what I did was the right thing to do at the time, and it sucks, but I really do try to think about a situation and stuff. I think this kind of characterization of John that Tony Bedard is doing, it's really the only characterization of John we get besides that he's stoic and black and like
and a Marine.
And is a Marine from anybody else. I mean, at least
I'm an architect on part time.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why Tony Bedard would be good on a team book that he was actually trying to write, you know, as opposed to whatever he's been doing with Emerald Green Lantern Corps the last couple of years. But I think this is demonstrating that he has got an idea about who John Stewart should be as a character. He can't really just do solo issues with John Stewart. It gets kind of boring for me, but yeah, I agree.
I think you're all racist, and I'm the only one who likes it because I'm black.
Well, I didn't say I kind of liked it.
I want to say I'm not racist, but I don't like John Stewart. He's black. It's completely unrelated. So I have a black friend, I think.
I have a black friend.
Yeah, you also have a black president.
Wait, Frankie, you're Dominican, right? Damn. Yeah. Well, I don't have a black friend. I have a black dog. He's black and white. His hair.
I thought we called Brandon our black friend. I've been trying to keep up a black friend for years.
Brandon is not any of our friends. I have a Will Smith movie on DVD.
Moving on.
Moving on. We're going to
get offensive.
Our prize selection, Green Lantern number 67, the end of the war.
Let's go page by page for a commenter.
The end of an era.
The end of the war to Green Lantern, also the end, the final issue of Green Lantern, until the DCNU new reboot.
And the final punishment for the failing of the Green Lantern movie.
All right, so pretty much going hand in hand, this is the compilation of everything that's been going on in the war of the Green Lanterns for the past, I don't know, what, 6 months?
Well, you can't really count months since it's been delayed. So.
Yeah, it's true. But, you know, for the past long term of time, and we've been reading the War of the Green Lantern, this is the end game. This is, you know, this the end-all, be-all. This is everything that's supposed to, you know, go down. And in a way, sort of doesn't disappoint in action level. I mean, there's a lot of shit going on. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, themes going all over the place. Incomprehensible story? Maybe. I mean, there's an entire part where Krona goes into his mad rant about how, you know, why Hal Jordan's doing the thing he's doing, why is he defending the Guardians, blah, 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 blah. And issues beforehand, Krona's going, like, I'm trying to destroy the Guardians because I want the humans or the Green Lanterns themselves to be, like, you know, their own governing body now. And yet he's going out of his way just to kill Hal Jordan for indescribable reason, except for the fact that he's just feeling emotions, and, like, you know, this is how you feel when you have emotions, and it's.
Well, Krona's just nuts. That's all.
Yeah, Krona's just nuts. He's just a mad guard.
Well, there is, again, going into the story.
Hal Jordan gets, you know, starring role. It is his book. Spin Asher gets, you know, bigger role in this. Kyle gets something to do, and everybody else is just wallpaper.
See, I actually expected you to hate what Kyle did in this issue, because when I read it, I felt like he was cast off to the side. Like, here, Kyle, go play in
your coloring
book.
I was thinking too. I was thinking like I was thinking, hey, I think we're gonna go fight, and Kyle, you draw, I guess.
Well, here's the thing. I like that it worked. I like that it happened like that. I appreciate that Johns was actually doing some kind of Kyle spotlighting. I don't know if that's because. I don't know if that's actually because it was a logical thing to happen in the story, because it kind of was. I don't know if it was because Kyle's getting a big spotlight soon. He's the only of the Earth Green Lanterns that's getting his own series. Even though he's on a team with a bunch of characters, but he's going to be the featured character on it, where all the other Green Lantern characters are going to be lumped into their other series. I mean, it's obviously Sinestro, but you know. So I don't know if that – I liked it. I think the only problem with it is that he goes back to that what he said when he did Rebirth like 7 years ago, that it was like Kyle and Hal are going to be like brothers, and Hal's going to be like the big brother who gives Kyle advice and stuff. And I don't like the idea that Kyle had to like – Hal. It's one thing Hal comes up with the idea, that's fine, but for him to like sit there and like doubt it, hit him through it. And honestly, I don't even understand why he took them out of the book in the first place. It's not really clearly explained why they need to come out of the book. I think his argument is like, and then they'll be able to get the rings, but – I don't think that
they'll
that
be able to master their respective entity. That's what they were trying.
Is that what it is? Because they don't.
Yeah, because when I read it, I'm thinking you can't do that later. Like when shit is over and done.
Yeah, I mean, and I think his idea was like, well, if they get him out, then they'll be able to take the entities out of them. But that doesn't happen.
They're trying to. Yeah, that doesn't happen at all. Hal's idea was he was trying to depower Krona by getting the entities away from him. And in order to do that, he needs to get the New Guardians out of the book so they can be able to do that. Of course, that doesn't happen at all. And then
backfires,
you know,
because then Krona gets all the rings, right? I mean, that's what we're. But then how come he didn't get the rings before that? Because aren't the rings that are floating around? I don't know. There's not really a good logic to this story. I'm going to go on a limb here. I'm going to say I kind of like this issue. I think it was big. There's a lot of shit happening. There's a bunch of stuff that didn't actually make any sense.
Oh, there's tons of stuff that didn't make any sense. But again,
rainbow colored snakes.
It was.
Thank you.
I'm glad I'm not the only person who saw that.
That's a
huge construct. It's got all the rings.
Yeah, it's understandable. No, but again, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of, you know, fighting. There's a lot of energy. It sort of does feel like this is a big end moment of the series. You know, like, you know, this is supposed to be like the be all.
This is a lot more epic and directly cathartic in terms of its resolution than other Green Lantern stories. I think the problem with it is that so much of it is so obvious. Like, I think my biggest problem with the issue, despite, you know, Kyle being talked down to and obviously the big Sinestro thing at the end and stuff, my biggest problem with the issue is the Guardian saying, like, first off, no Lantern could kill the Guardian. It's like, well, you know, somebody made the point online, but, like, they killed Scar. I mean, I guess they all combined their rings and stuff, but they still killed Scar.
Was Hal doing it? Yes, he was.
Will overcame the ability to not kill a Guardian.
But it's like he did it with Scar, and, like, that's never really been a rule that they couldn't kill them with the rings and stuff. I mean, and even besides that, the fact that, like, no one's willpower should exceed. So presumably, John's ring shut down a couple of years ago because his willpower exceeded the ring to the point where he was going to make a planet. So apparently it's easier to kill a Guardian than it is to construct a planet, but
I think the idea was with the willpower thing, when he overwent the ring with John, he was just using too much energy, so it shut down to conserve power. But in Hal's case, he just packed enough punch to destroy a Guardian.
It specifically says willpower exceeds ring capacity. And this one, he's saying no one's willpower should be able to do that, which essentially is saying his willpower is more powerful and less powerful than John's in some kind of bizarre way.
I think the point here is that the John Ring incident is just forgot.
Yeah, well, exactly. I think here's – now, my problem with this, like, I'm totally fine with Hal being the one that kills Krona. I'm totally fine with it being the way it happened. I just happen to think that, like, I said this before, and the movie didn't even do it. I was afraid the movie was going to end the same way that every single Green Lantern story, origin story ends, that the character just conjures up enough willpower to make a really big beam and then beats the guy. That happened in First Flight. That happened in the Superman animated series. That's happened in untold amounts of retellings of the Green Lantern origin story. It happened in Secret Origin. It happened in Emerald Dawn. I mean, it's every single time the storyline ends, Hal just manages to conjure willpower to nowhere, and everyone's shocked and he wins. And it's kind of like it's redundant. It just felt like he wanted to get it in there to win. And he could have just done it. He didn't need to have a part where one of the Guardians needed to stroke his dick a bit more and said, like, you've got more willpower than God. Like, it's like enough. Like, it's got new character in history.
It's actually an interesting idea that maybe he actually willed Krona to be mortal.
No, it's fine. It's fine, but you're wrong. But he shot him with a beam, and he is mortal.
You're wrong. He shot him with a beam.
But, like, I think it's funny because, I mean, I think we as people who are podcasts, maybe I'm focusing a different way. I don't think there's ever been a single comic who's been masturbated by the writers as much as Hal Jordan has in the past couple of decades, because even he's so boring, and all the writers, Kurt Busiek, Mark Waid, all these guys come out of the woodwork and are like, he's my favorite character. He's like, he defines the Silver Age. He's such a great character. He's this, he's that, he's this. And, you know, and yet none of these writers can bother to write a good story with the guy, but they love the guy. Every single comic he's in is like, man, Hal, your dick must fall off as much as you use it, you know? And it's like, man, Hal, like, he gets in a fist fight, Batman and breaks his legs, and Batman's like, I've never met a better fighter, and stupid shit. With Hal. And, like, you know, and that's fine. There's more Hal jerking off. But it's good, and I think, I don't know, it was kind of epic. It was kind of cool, and I think the line right before he gets him is pretty good. It's something you'd hear in a movie. I feel like I've heard it before, but it's still good. I mean, you're old. I think that reminds me of, like, my other favorite part of the storyline was pretty much the exact same thing happening when Hal and Krona get into a fight, and, you know, he's like, I control the spectrum, and then Hal cuts his cheek, and he's like, aha, who controls what? And it's good. I mean, that was exciting. That was thrilling. I think the Sinestro bits where Sinestro is like, entire life is changed because House is three or four things.
No. When you think about it, it's kind of like he's kind of almost mimicking what Sinestro's supposed goals were. Kind of like he knows that the Guardians are flawed and he wants to fix the universe. It's like he's finally like, Hal understands me. I got to help him.
Well, he's beyond that. It's like Hal, he's going, like, oh my God, I thought that what Hal is, I had to do this by raping and murdering trillions of people, but I was wrong. It's like, one conversation, one overhearing of Hal defending the core is kind of like a, you know, and even then, it's kind of one of those things where Hal's never really had as much of an affinity for the core. Every time you see him with the core, he's literally pissing in the mouths of anybody who will speak to him. So it's kind of like, I mean, but it's fine. I don't know. Like I said, it's a big slam bang action issue. There's some good bits. Kyle got something to do. It was a good fight. The Sinestro twist, I think everybody saw coming. Everybody who's a fan, at least, saw it coming months and months and months ago. They weren't really shy about it. It's a good enough twist. It could propel really interesting stories. Now Hal has to do something that isn't wasting our time in the middle of a crossover, because he's got to do something as Hal Jordan and stuff. And technically, they're putting it in a position now where, I don't know if they will, but they're putting it in a position now where, would, you know, Geoff Johns has systematically eliminate all of his flaws in Rebirth and basically said everything Hal Jordan had ever done, including getting gray hair, was everything he'd ever done that people didn't like was because of the space bug that had been infecting him his apparently entire career. So now you get back to a point where Hal Jordan finally can have flaws and doubt himself. And, you know, and I don't know, we all said one of our favorite issues in the last couple of years is that issue where it's just Hal and Carol flying around the planes. And now we've got nothing but Hal and Carol flying around planes. And I don't want to be that guy, but I read Secret Origin a couple of months back and I liked it a lot better the second time around until they started getting into the Atrocitus bullshit and William Hanna bullshit. So all the actual Hal melodrama stuff where he's like, my dad died in a plane crash, fuck you, mom, die of cancer slowly because I'm a dick. Like, that all stuff is much more interesting than the other stuff. So, what do you do? I don't know. I don't really mind Sinestro's. I only mind Sinestro's Green Lantern because I don't think he's that strong of a character, and I don't like heel turns. Like, it's not just that Sinestro killed an entire universe of people. It's not just that he has killed untold number of Green Lanterns, and it's not just that he's a fascist and a racist and is a tyrant. It's that he created an organization that's sole purpose is murder and rape. Like, let's not forget that we have short stories written by Geoff Johns where the Sinestro Corps members commit rape. Murder and rape of anybody who gets in their way, and their entire function is to make everyone in the universe scared of them. Like, you know, they do the most unconscionable, horrible things, like psychotics. He gives them ultimate power, and that's him. Like, the fact that he's Green Lantern now, it's like, it's unconscionable, you know? And somebody made the point, what are the Corps going to be called now? But I guess it's, we'll probably have a storyline dealing with, like, you know, Sinestro not calling it the Sinestro Corps anymore.
Well, we'll get that in September.
Right. Yeah, Yellow Lanterns will be, you know, called Yellow Lanterns, like the rest of them.
The more of this crap he's done, the more he's gonna have to overcome if he ever wants to find any form of redemption. He might want it, he might not. He might just be playing everyone for laughs. We don't know.
Well, all right, let's focus on the now, because right now, Sinestro hasn't said a fucking word about the ring. Not one word.
He did say Jordan once right before he disappeared.
He did say, I don't understand, and then, you know, how Jordan, being a badass that he is, goes, don't question it.
Yes, and I think, and Sinestro,
That's kind of out of character. We're just like, I don't understand. What's going on?
Well,
I feel like
cool that they're trying to give him, I think they're trying to establish, like I said, that Hal Jordan's, just Hal Jordan-ness has reversed him in a spasm of holocaustic jizz, I guess. And those two decides that, like, you know, now, and basically everything Hal Jordan says, I think we can kind of assume it's going to be Sinestro's mission statement, you know, for the next couple of storylines. He has the ring and is featuring in the title and stuff.
What I'm getting for this is Hal Jordan is a 90s anime character who inspires people to speeches and then punches them.
Well, you know, it's kind of bold, I think, not to be like, whatever. Obviously, they thought the movie, well, they hoped the movie would do better, and they assumed that Mark Strong's Sinestro would be the breakout star. Whereas in all the reviews are like, Mark Strong's pretty good as Sinestro. No one was waxing themselves over this guy, you know, but like, they were assuming that was going to be a big breakout of the movie. So it is kind of bold if you think about it. DC's rebooting their entire universe, you know, and people who've never read comics before are supposed to come and read these Green Lantern comics, and they're starting it with Sinestro. I mean, obviously, they're not doing anything to change what's going on in the storylines, because God, Kyle is running the Lantern Corps with some Star Sapphire wearing a bizarro pair of jeans or whatever, but, you know, like, again, it's kind of interesting. I mean, again, I don't mean to toot this guy's horn. He's done enough shit, and this is obviously a rushed issue, but I don't know. I liked it.
Well, speaking of rushed, am I the only one who thought this was the worst Doug Monkey art I've ever seen?
No.
I actually really – I mean, I could see where some of it sucked, but there's some – I mean, even though I don't like these ridiculously melodramatic Sinestro pictures, like that one where it looks like his eyes are like quivering, it's kind of like, those are some quivering eyes. Like, you know, and I don't know. I didn't even mind the use of in this.
It was just bromance.
There's some indecipherable stuff, like Krona says to Gantt, I'm finally going to kill you right now, and then blows him up, and then you don't see Gantt again, and then the next issue, later in the issue, Gantt is literally exactly fine. He's like,
I guess. What about Immortal did you forget?
So he's forgetting what happened per page, but it was, I don't know.
The two-page spread where Hal kills Krona was pretty cool looking.
Yeah, I think Kyle should have kept Sinestro in the book because he killed his fucking mom. Like, that really needs to be brought up at some point. Like, you know,
it should be.
Eat my fucking will.
I mean, I think it's one of those things where I said that now that Sinestro is headlining the title that has the character's name on it, it's going to be unlikely that him and Kyle are going to have a fist fight. But I'm thinking, like, no, actually, isn't that kind of like 101 for like intercompany crossovers? At some point, Nightwing and Batman have to get into a fist fight and stuff. So, I don't know.
It's a perfect excuse.
Hopefully it'll come up, because you have a whole series where Kyle's the main character. You would think that he'd mention it, but he hasn't really talked about it in a couple of years. Maybe he forgot.
How do you forget that? I'm sorry, how do you forget the dude who assassinated your mother?
Maybe in the new universe he didn't do it. Imagine if, like, in the new Guardians number one. Green, New Guardians number one, he opens the door and his mom is standing there being all his mom. He's like, hi, Kyle, I didn't die. And he's like, yup, in this continuity, I didn't even know you were dead. And then they just have a conversation. I would be furious. I'd be absolutely furious. But nice for Kyle. I don't care. I'd be absolutely furious.
Oh, yeah. The hell with Kyle. Don't let him have any happiness. I want to have continuity recognized.
He's a character. He's a character. Have you seen the women that Kyle's gone with? He doesn't need any more happiness.
Well, how about before we wrap this up, how about we talk about what's coming up next? We got 3 books coming up in September.
We have 4 books in September.
Assuming those aftermath issues don't drastically change the status quo, do you like the idea of Peter Milligan's Red Lantern book being based off of the fact that Atrocities doesn't get his revenge, or the fact that Kyle goes off to, I don't know, lead these new Guardians because he was inspired by what Hal said, or like the premise of what we've seen in this issue setting up what's coming in September interests you any further than it already did? Did this jazz you up?
Well, I think for me, it's exciting because, like I said, I'm such a Kyle fan that, like, the switch of focus to Kyle on this to show elements of his character that were, like, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, Geoff Johns kind of thinks of Kyle as the gay best friend of the Green Lanterns or whatever, which is fine. I love gay people and best friends. But, like, you know, he thinks of him as a very kind of feelings-oriented guy and stuff. So the fact that they switched to focus him is interesting because it kind of actually shows me that they really are trying to think of him as a headlining character in his own title. So that's cool for me. But I don't know. I don't think the story, the actual series, are going to be that different from what we kind of expect them to be. So I don't know. I mean, it's especially the Sinestro beat, the Green Lantern. I would have thought that was interesting if there was some kind of ambiguity, but I feel like it's going to kind of like ratchet into him being pretty much halfway redeemed.
No.
You don't think so? I think he'll be.
I wouldn't assume. Just yet.
I would assume he's still not. I don't think he's going to be. I think he's probably going to do some really nice stuff, and then eventually, kind of the whole thing's going to be he's going to start out. I don't know if I should do good or not, and then eventually, you know, he'll be like Atrocitus, so he'll be doing good and stuff. I don't like Atrocitus being seen as like an anti-hero because, again, Atrocitus is the guy who murdered a woman who was about to be shot by her abusive husband and stuff to get her blood, you know. And the Spectre is like, ah, you're holy. I'll see you later, you know, and like. So I don't know. I'm excited about the writers still, I guess, on it. I'm excited about the teams on it, but I don't know. This issue hasn't really changed my opinion of anything one way or the other. I think it's kind of made the Sinestro stuff more simplistic than I would have liked.
I feel like I would be generally excited for Sinestro as Green Lantern in September if I didn't think Hal Jordan was going to be all over that book anyway. If I thought they would actually take Hal completely out of the picture, then that book would be.
I want Hal to just be.
No. They shouldn't take Hal out of the book. They should have the entire book just Sinestro flying around Hal Jordan, like screwing around with him, be like, "Hey, who's got the ring?"
No, I want Hal to just be like Sinestro's pie face.
Just like
they call them whitey.
Gummy Mrs.
Owl. Want a white fish? How you doing?
That'd be great.
My feet. You guys, I don't know if you know this story. The story where Hal Jordan fell asleep and accidentally turned Pie Face into a bird.
Yeah, I know that one. That was ridiculous. It was ridiculous because like the ring was on his subconscious and he was dreaming of Pie Face as a bird or something. Like what?
He's like, Pie Face loves to fly as a pelican. Like, and then Pie Face turns back to him and like, Hal, what the hell do you think of me, man? Like, this is a weird relationship we have, don't you think? Whatever.
It's like a magic wishing ring. Yeah.
I think what's probably the best idea and probably what they're going to do, presumably, is keep Hal in the kind of soft light. I mean, if he shows up in the first couple issues at all, he probably will. But they'll keep him not in the spotlight, so they're going to feature at least the first storyline about Sinestro, and then they're going to start
Listen, if I'm correct about any of this, Hal Jordan will probably get into some weird, you know, wacky adventure with some dude in sunglasses who turns out to be the Predator in disguise, and then eventually get his ring back at some point after, like,
There's still Ion. I mean, you know, Hal could always become Ion. I mean, that guy's fooling around out there.
That's totally going to happen. Okay.
No, you have to assume that Ion is eventually going to make his way.
I'm assuming the New Guardians book is about finding identities.
What's stopping the ring from going right back to Hal, though?
Well, the Guardians.
Well, it wasn't his ring.
Wait, what?
That's the Sinestro guy? I think that's my problem.
No, I think you're saying they took the ring. I mean, they presumably.
Right, but like, what's stopping
them?
They discharged him.
I assume there's a program that says this person's not allowed back in.
Mogo's no longer around to dictate where the rings go.
That's what I'm saying. I think that program was Mogo. So what's stopping the two rings? Because there's no Earth Lanterns right now. There's no 2814 Lanterns. So what's stopping the one of the two rings of 2814 and just going back to Hal Jordan?
There are no rings going
because the Guardians said not to. Presumably the Guardians could prevent it from getting.
I doubt it. The Guardians.
None of the rings.
No, I think my thing is like I understand that the Guardians are like cold and unfeeling, and that's the idea is that now it's kind of like that's like the nth degree now, and they didn't take Sinestro's ring right away because they want to really think about what's going on with it, but it's kind of like. It doesn't really make any sense. They don't just take his ring right away. And it doesn't make any sense. The Green Lanterns wouldn't quit, you know, because it's like one of those things where when the guy beats up one of your friends, gets fired, and then it's hired back on.
And kills your mother.
You know, like, and then kills your mother, you know, like people quit, you know what I mean? And they should have hopefully an aftermath. They have, I'm assuming they will.
I was going to mention
kill log is like, F this, I'm out if you don't fire back.
I mean, because we saw thousands quit when the Guardians made the love rule.
That's actually what I thought was happening when I opened up the issue of Core.
That's what I thought was happening.
The first pages, everybody was quitting because Sinestro was in there, and I was like, yeah, that's how it should be. Because he killed Kilowog's whole family. I mean, I think that's one of the things that you got to kind of retcon Kilowog's continuity into it. But he's the one who destroyed Kilowog's entire civilization.
Ophelax was killed.
Yeah, he saved him in his ring, and then when he put him on a new planet, you know, Sinestro blew up the planet. You know, he killed... You know, this person's mother, he did something to, I don't know what he did to Guy Gardner, did something to Guy Gardner.
Oh, he fractured his mind.
Yeah, I mean, and if you follow Jeff Johns' logic, he probably was the reason that Rose was in the back seat when John Stewart crashed into a wall in the first place, you know, so it's just one of those things.
He's just sitting there with his ring like, stupid human.
But anyway, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, people should quit. They should have taken the ring away from him right away. I think that's probably part of it's one of those things you can go like, that's fucking stupid. It is stupid. But it's also obviously part of the drama, the idea that Sinestro, the worst guy ever, is right there with the ring, and they don't take that ring away, but they take away Hal's ring, who just saved the universe.
See, here's the funny thing about, you know, Sinestro. All right, go ahead, Coleman. I guess
one of the issues with that is I think they just had a paranoid reaction. They supposedly believe that no one can kill them with their rings, that they were beyond that, either the rings of programming or something on those lines. And then they see how kill someone who is basically them, and he's had a history of rebelling against them. So their thoughts are, if he wants to, he can just kill us at any point. We got to get that thing off his finger now, or he'll go nuts on us.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's actually a lot of logic here without realizing it. Yeah.
It's very funny that, you know, again, because we saw that same scene play out a while back when, you know, Hal foresaw it coming in his little daydream while he's looking up at Batman. It was they had to do that craggly, you know, word balloon so none of us could know who it was. It's like, yeah, it turned out to be Hal. Yeah, we all saw that coming. But the real draw for the Guardians not taking away Sinestro ring right away was for the fact that none of these rings actually are capable of flying to a user anymore. And yet it did. Unless again Jeff Johns doesn't really pay attention at all to his own continuity.
I think it's one of those things where it's kind of like they're going to have to clarify it more, and I'm sure in the aftermath of Matrimony Bedard, there'll be some lines clarifying that, like, obviously it was Mogul, like, the rings do fly to the universe, and Mogul was the moral compass, because Kyle says it.
That's kind of what they said, right? Isn't that sort of what they said, that rings are still going out?
They say it, but then
there shouldn't be a pile of rings lying around. That's the entire point.
Or maybe Mogul's kind of like a long-range sensor, and anyone close by can still
Maybe Mogul had a bunch of stuff lying around. Like he had a bunch of rings inside him. So the rings that are being discarded are deprogrammed.
Now here's the problem, right? Like, as fans of a piece of art, creative, whatever, we shouldn't really care too much about what the rings are doing and the actual continuity and nitty gritty of the ring. And that's my biggest problem with this whole Geoff Johns era. You know, it's so obsessed with continuity and minutia, and it belittles the fans for being that way. But it's so obsessed with it that it can't exist without it, and yet it doesn't. It's not consistent with its own internal logic. Like in First Flight, like, not to talk about how very First Flight was, but First Flight had completely inappropriate rings rules and stuff. Like, at the end, when Sinestro kills all the lanterns, like, the rings all just fall in the middle of the chamber. Like, that's not what they do. Like, that's not even anything remotely close to resembling what they were doing the rest of the movie and stuff, but it's cool, you know? And the Tony Bedard thing, like I said, it doesn't make any sense. They're just going to throw this shit on the ground where, like, you know, probably the guy, Mordo or whatever the name of the fucking dude who cleans the shit out of the crypts, he's probably got to clean up because he's a scumbag. You know, but, like, it doesn't make any sense to just throw him in the middle of the street, but it looks cool, and it's a good visual, and it's a comic.
It's symbolic.
The symbolism,
but I'm just saying, like, you know.
All right, well, I guess we've talked enough about the review ideas of these issues. You know, we all are eagerly awaiting, you know, the next couple issues that come out in the span of Green Lantern until the new reboot of DC. Eagerly awaiting.
The last issue of Green Lantern, so, yeah. Yeah. The reboot.
Four new titles coming.
Soon enough, we're all prepared for, you know, Red Lanterns. The I'm not really expecting that to be any good. But yeah,
I'm actually hoping
Red Lanterns probably gonna be the good one. But yeah, you're right.
You know, waiting eagerly, you know, with bated breath, waiting for these issues to come out. So until then, all you listeners out there, I'm glad you stuck with us, and hopefully you'll hear us next time on the Green Lantern Corecast.
Be sure to check us out at www.thegreenlanterncore.com.
You can also email us at contact@thegreenlanterncore.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at @GLCore.
And be sure to check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/GLSpotlight.
You can reach our voicemail line at 313-GL1-2814. That's 313-451-2814.
Thanks for listening, and check us out next time, and please stop masturbating when I'm talking to you.
Don't forget to check out Kirby Crackle, the performance of our opening theme, Ring Capacity, at kirbycracklemusic.com. Also check out the Roy Clark Method, the performance of our ending theme, Sector 2814, at freewebs.com/Roy Clark Method.
This magic green, it is the color green, it can do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me and says, how, what have you done with your life? People around you keep dying. Use your will to right the wrong.
And we're rebooting in 2 months, just so you know.
Don't tell him that. It's supposed to be a surprise.
Yeah, Frankie's going to be Kilowog or something. Colton's going to be the host. That's why, you know, it's evil. It's evil reigns.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm totally going to be the host for every episode, and I'm going to do 90% of the talking, and it's going to be all my ideas.
You're all going to love it. That creepy dude who could barely speak English is now in charge.
Damn!